Podtacular episode 395, Hindsight Vision, for October 17th, 2013. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I'm your host, Duststorm.
And I'm your other host, Brent Gamer.
And tonight, we are back with some more Halo news of Halo 4 multiplayer-ness and some Halo 3 stuff, since Halo 3 is now free for Xbox Gold members. If you haven't picked that up, definitely head over to the Xbox Live Marketplace and pick yours up for free right now, along with the Heroic Map Pack and the Cold Storage Map DLC, which are free as well. Lots of people are kind of migrating back into Halo because of this recent release, and we're going to talk about that a little bit tonight. But we have a couple of guests joining us with the going back to some old-style Halo. We figured we'd get some old-style, but still cool, Podtacular members from back in the day. So first, we would like to welcome back Typographic, who is formerly known as Anorexic Leader. Welcome back to the show.
Hey, what's up? It's been a while. I think it's been like 100 episodes or something.
I have no idea how long it's been. It's I know it's been a long time, though. I think probably MLG Dallas from two years ago?
Oh, gosh. Yeah, I honestly think it's been exactly 100 episodes, which is creepy. I'd have to go back and check. But anyways, yeah, it's been a while.
I will look that up, because that would be interesting if it's actually exactly 100 episodes.
Yeah.
But we also have one of the other almost kind of foundation members, in a way. I don't know if you came before or after Annie, but we have Laird back on the show. So welcome back, man.
Hi, Internet and Podtacular. How are you? I think the last time I was on the podcast was the roundtable we had at Halo Fest. So however long that was ago.
That would have been a little over 2 years.
And I was a member of Podtacular way back in 2005, I think, maybe.
Well, 2005 is when it started. It started in July 2005.
Yeah, so I think I came in at around episode 13 or 14 or something like that. And my first appearance was somewhere in the 70s or 60s or something like that. And we're not old or retro. We prefer the title of distinguished.
Okay. I will refer to you as distinguished members of Podtacular then.
There you go.
If you shall prefer.
No, I'm just fooling around.
No worries. So we have lots of things to talk about with regards to Halo 4, the matchmaking updates that are going to be coming down the pipeline for in a couple of weeks. Of course, there was the Halo Waypoint community playdate for the Oddball playlist that came out earlier this week. So if you want to get some Oddball action in, make sure you hit up the Halo 4 matchmaking this week. We have some pretty cool screenshots and stories from people that participated in the event as well on the Waypoint Bulletin. So if you want to see kind of a summary of what happened during the course of Monday night, then definitely go over and check it out. The Waypoint team went 11-1. In terms of games, so they are quite the oddball team to play against, and it doesn't help when you have Jess, who is pretty much a professional griftballer at this point, and Bravo, who's pretty much competitive overall, being on the team. So you're kind of out of luck there. So I'm a little surprised I actually lost one, if you look at the grand scheme of things. But we have all those things up there on the first things on the bulletin for this week. So definitely, if you're interested, check it out. If not, well, there's some other stuff on the bulletin that may interest you as well. In a week and a half, or kind of a week from when you're listening to this podcast, or depending on when you're listening to this podcast, we're going to have the Community Ricochet playlist come out to fill the next rotational spot that will replace Oddball. And that's going to go through some of the maps that have been featured from the community that have been forged and with a couple of game types going along with it, too. So the Halo 4 Ricochet Contest was kind of the foundation of some of the maps picked in here. So on October 28th, if you want to play some cool Ricochet maps, then definitely check out the matchmaking playlist then. The three game types that are coming along the pipeline are Quickishay, Shotgun Ricochet, and Legendary Ricochet. And what Quickishay is basically Ricochet with Hot Potato, so the ball will randomly explode. That would be fun. And the Shotgun Ricochet is everyone has shotguns, plasma grenades, and thruster packs. And there's going to be lots of kind of in-your-face, so maybe see some smaller maps with this game type, probably. And, of course, Legendary is Ricochet would be what you would assume to be normal Ricochet, except you start out with BRs and you have weapons on the map, no armor ability, and all that good stuff. A little bit towards the competitive stuff, but not completely. So what are your thoughts on the game types that they have picked out for the Ricochet playlist, guys? Quickishay will... with the ball exploding will add an interesting little twist to things, I think.
I foresee more people not running the ball into the goal if it's going to explode, you know? They want to just do the long bombs and kind of shoot it in.
I could see that. I could see a lot more potential for having the ball being thrown more. I wonder if for that if they're going to bump up the score to run it in. Because that would be kind of a huge deterrent to running, because you don't know when it's going to go off. And I guess we'll have to see whether or not it's going to be a static timer or if it's going to be a variable timer. I haven't even looked at the settings for those, to be honest.
Yeah, I was going to say, I haven't read up on everything on the bulletin. I was going to say, if the ball, you run it in and it has a giant explosion now, does that mean the other team has a chance now to disarm it when they get in there? You know, do they have a chance to disarm it if it's got a timer and get the ball out and try and get it over to the opposing team?
Well, so it's not like you arm the ball. It's not like a saw. It's okay. It's a hot potato thing. It blows up in your hand if you're holding it.
Okay, sorry. I'm a little outdated on the bulletin. I haven't read it. I've read it, just not the details of the full game.
It's all right. But yeah, so if you remember Hot Potato from Halo Reach, where you had... whenever you're on playing Assault, that the bomb would just explode in your hand?
Yes.
Yeah, it's essentially doing that for the ball whenever you're carrying it in Ricochet.
Okay.
And it doesn't say in here if it's a set period of time or if it's random. They just said after a certain period of time. So that would, from a verbiage standpoint, that would assume that's a set period of time, but we really don't know.
What do you guys think that this would be kind of a cool feature? If... they had Ricochet and the bomb random, blah, 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 speaking words, no good. If they were able to, you know, put on a skull, like say they put on more cowbell, so when the bomb explodes, you get that extra big kind of comedic explosion and you know, that kind of stuff. I mean, that could be a separate playlist, obviously, but it would be make for a more fun playlist. You know, you have the bomb and then... you know, it randomly explodes, like you're 5 feet from the goal, your teams are all coming in, and then, your entire team's gone because cowbell's now on, or you know, it protects, I don't know, I just thought that might be a cool idea, based on what was said. What do you guys think?
I think the bigger explosion would be...
deterrent? Or detriment to the game type?
Are you talking, like, bigger than a grenade, or bigger than... like well, the how big it would normally explode from like okay, a, well, you, a griff ball the, standpoint?
Well, griff ball, you know, when you run the ball in, that thing just takes out everybody that's within like 10 feet. I mean, it doesn't matter what. I was just thinking like if you're going to have a random exploding bomb or ball or whatever, you know, at any time, it could just go off. It would make it kind of a cool thing in a separate playlist. I mean, you could have... your normal Ricochet, Hot Potato, whatever, the one where the bomb explodes, and normal explosions, but Cowbell Skull was the skull that you could put on during Campaign of Firefight that would make everything bigger. So it's like, you know, if you had the ball, because, tell me if I'm wrong, but whenever we played Halo, those random moments where you're, like, doing something and you accidentally shot a fuel, you know, an energy core, and you stop the guy from getting the flag, or you know, you stopped the, you got the winning double kill because you shot that. So if you had that ball and that extra, you know, that extra cowbell skull turned on in a separate playlist, you know, the ball would explode and potentially take out, if you were running it through the middle, for example, and you had three teammates and, you know, the bomb explodes, well, now the enemy team would have a chance to pick up the ball if... I don't know. I'm probably going off tangent. I was just thinking of ideas that would be kind of cool to add to that for a separate playlist. based on that game type. Sorry.
I don't know about putting in a separate playlist.
Or game type. Maybe a game type. I'm not sure.
Yeah, a different game type would be... I mean, game but mode. You're not changing much of what they're kind of putting out there already. So I guess in terms of what you would want to do for matchmaking, you'd either kind of experiment with that and put it in there or not. But I think the bigger explosions just kind of out of the gate with the new playlist would be probably preferable because it has just kind of that surprising, just impending death feel to it. At the same time, you want to kind of go kill the person with the ball and get up close, but if you have the other side of the equation where it's like, well, I don't want to get too close because then I might get blown up.
That was kind of the idea. It was just
so yeah, I think
bigger,
it would be pretty,
bigger, you know.
I think it'd be a pretty cool idea, to be honest.
Those random moments. That was what I was thinking, you know, because a lot of people are harking back to those days for Halo 4 matchmaking for the memory of, you know, what they remember Halo. And I remember one of those random moments was I shot a guy with a sniper rifle and hit an energy core and killed him with a random flying cone. So, you know, that's kind of what it was getting at. Like, you know, yeah. If you had cowbell on, you know, it boom, you know, you send a ragdolling Spartan into an energy core and that energy core goes off and kills two more people or something like that. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Oh, gosh, I remember that from the pit. Brings back such fond memories. I think the bigger explosions would be a lot of fun. I think it adds that kind of, since they're already putting the explosions in there, why not make it a little bit bigger? Yeah. So,
like, definitely. I'm not talking like something where you can pick up the bomb and then hide in a corner and it explodes and you take out everyone on the map. I'm just talking like, you know, it just a little bit bigger than the normal explosion that you get when you get the goal or whatever.
Right. It's just whenever you, yeah, exactly. So that would be pretty cool. Shotgun Ricochet, what do you guys think of this? I think for having this kind of game type, it would have to be on the map that really suits a lot more close combat, because if you just have an open map, then people are going to try to just throw the ball in every single time. I think this would be very kind of map dependent on having kind of the more close quarters combat encouraged maps be played for this game type specifically than some of the more open maps. Thoughts?
Someone else should probably take it.
I think it'd work out on normal size maps like the pit and stuff. I mean, right now I enjoy using the shotgun on the pit while I'm playing Ricochet because it's just such an effective weapon against the ball runner. But I don't know.
You guys are supposed to be helping provide commentary.
Well, I mean, it's just Ricochet variants. I mean, there's only so much you can say about them. Once you describe the variant, I mean, that's pretty much it.
I guess that's true.
The rest is left up to the imagination as to how you think it'll play.
What do you think of having the thruster packs in there as the armor ability to use?
Well, that's just fun to use with, you know, a shotgun anytime. I mean, it is. I mean, anytime you can propel yourself forward into somebody, that's always going to be better for your shotgun kill rate.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you could thruster pack in, shotgun the guy. If you don't kill him instantly, you hit him with a melee and he's done.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's good. The plasma grenades, that's going to be interesting because I'm horrible with stickies in Halo 4. I imagine I get stuck a lot in this game type. Of course, Legendary Ricochet is kind of self-explanatory. Nothing really to explain there. You can vote on all the maps that they will be picking in the Halo Waypoint forums. So go over there and check that out if you feel so inclined. Next up in the bulletin is some Halo pumpkin stencils because we have Halloween coming up here in approximately 2 weeks. So if you have the need to go carve a pumpkin or something, there are some cool little designs that 343 has put up on their blog that you can print out. Overlay onto a pumpkin and help kind of be guides to get those out there. So there's, of course, the Halo 4 logo. That's kind of self-explanatory. They have the Ninja emblem, the Global Championship emblem, Warmaster helmet from the Halo 4 Global Championships. There's a Mr. Chief infamous avatar for Frankie that's up there as well. There's the Didax Cryptum, and then there is the Flood face. That's used somewhere else. I forget where it is exactly, but it's the Flood model from when you're actually playing Flood in war games.
Yeah,
so I still think it looks weird. Yeah, I still think it looks really, really weird. That'll give you nightmares. So if you're carving pumpkins, if you're possibly partaking in the HBO Guilt-O-Lantern contest, then these may be some areas that can give you some inspiration for what to do. The Guilt-O-Lantern, I guess let's talk about that a little bit. That's a little contest that they run over on halo.bungie.org every year come Halloween time. And it's just a little something fun that they do, and we get to see some really, really cool pumpkin carvings, and there are some really, really cool ones, and people come up with some amazing new designs every single year. So
well, there's actually a big set of prizes. Hold on, let's see, what do they got?
Is there?
What's this year? This year's prizes. First prize is, I don't know if anybody's seen it, but Frankie tweeted a picture of an original Mr. Chief canvas painting. I'm pretty sure that's
what being this given is. Away.
Oh yeah, first prize is Mr. Chief canvas painting, painted by Frankie. High Ground Gate with Warthog. I'm pretty sure that's the McFarlane toys. UNSC Cryo Tube Master Chief signed by 343. Halo Legends the package. I'm not sure what that is. I guess maybe that's another Halo set of toys or a poster or something. Halo Minimate Series 3 and Forward Unto Dawn Blu-ray. That's prize one. Second prize is Halo Cell Art Let's Rock. So I'm guessing that's like a lithograph or something like that. High Ground Gate with Warthog. UNSC Cryotube signed by 343. Halo Legends, the package, I guess, again, it's basically the same prizes. So the Minimates and Blu-ray. And then third prize is Halo Cell Art Glasslands, Cryotube, Halo Legends, the package, Minimates, and Forward Unto Dawn Blu-ray.
That is some pretty cool stuff. Wow.
And just a quick rundown of the rules. Your picture must reach HBO headquarters by Eastern Time Halloween 2013. Your picture is digital, must be at least 640 by 480 pixels. Picture cannot digitally be altered. If we even think it's digitally altered, it's gone. It's out. Completely done. And
at their discretion, pretty much.
At their discretion, yeah. So the address for this is halo.bungie.org/misc/guilt-o-lantern13, the number 13.html, if you want to read the rules.
Very nice.
I'm trying to pull it up.
Yep, there it
I'll
is.
Put
it's
it
on
in
the stream
chat
now.
So you can put it in like whatever.
Well, I have it up on the stream right now, so it's good to go. But yep, there you go. So there's the... That's a pretty good prize pack.
Yep.
That's a lot of some of the more recent stuff that's come out, too. The signed Cryo Tube is going to be pretty cool. Forward Unto Dawn Blu-ray. The Halo Legends, the package is going to be that painting, though, I didn't know that was being given away.
Hold on, I'll see if I can find a picture of, and don't quote me on this, I'm just guessing, you know, because Frank doesn't normally tweet stuff like this unless it's...
I already have it up on the stream, I've been showing it off, actually.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's really good. It's really, really well done. It has the Cryptum as a half pumpkin in the background.
Yeah, that's it.
And then Mr. Chief kind of running away through a graveyard with the moon in the sky. So,
hey guys, Halo 5 confirmed. That's the plot. Chief running away from the pumpkin die-die.
the pumpkin die-die. Oh, that I don't know if that crosses some IP boundaries with Disney.
Well, technically, the Great Pumpkin wasn't that. Oh man, I can't even remember. This was like from a long time ago. Charlie Brown or something like that.
Charlie Brown?
Yeah. Okay. Now I'm gonna be old. I'm not gonna bring that up. It was just a Halloween special when I was a kid in the 80s.
Okay.
Yep. I think you're right. I was thinking
more of Cinderella, but all right.
Well, no. I'm gonna. Old man Laird here is gonna tell you a quick story about Charlie Brown and cartoons during the 80s, you know, for Halloween specials. They had a show called Every Year that came on during Halloween. It was called Charlie Brown and the Great Pumpkin or something like that. And it was, you know, the Great Pumpkin and Charlie Brown and stories about the guy with the Charlie Brown character that had the blue blanket. I can't remember his name, but that was the character that it was focused on.
someone in the Twitch stream is actually kind of supporting you on this one. The Great Pumpkin from Charlie Brown.
There you go.
So, yeah, you are not alone, apparently. We have a great Twitch audience.
I'm not that old. I was born in the 80s, just to get that out there. Not 70s or 60s or whatever. I was born in the 80s. Just a few years separate me and our esteemed leader here, Brett, you know,
right.
Dusty.
Fair enough. Yep, fair enough. Pins in the chat says, don't be bashing my childhood. not bashing, just uneducated. And I'm opening to learning about new experiences. So, moving on right along.
I hear that's what college is for.
I'm done with college. I got my master's and I was out.
There you go.
So let's see. The rest of the bulletin, they mentioned that Halo 3, of course, is free now for gold. So there's going to be a community play date for Halo 3 sometime later this month. So I'm guessing with later this month, it'll probably be next week.
You're going to be on it, right? You're going to be on the playlist? With people as part of the playdate, I think I think 343 or Bungie or whoever's going to put it on should, you know, make sure that you're playing as one of the people they try to hunt down and have fun with.
I haven't been approached by anybody.
I'm just throwing it out there. I'm just making a suggestion.
All right. I mean, I'll look to play in it depending on if I'm available. But if they do it on Thursday night when this podcast is going, probably takes priority.
Well, no. You live stream, you know, you playing in the podcast or playing in the playlist.
Playing in the playlist for the podcast?
That's right. You know,
that's supposed to be our book show. That's supposed to be our Glasslands show.
I thought that wasn't until December.
No, that's
oh, you moved it now.
Thursday War. That's Thursday War.
Okay.
Thursday War is coming up next month.
Yes.
Sorry,
so, going off topic.
It's relevant to the podcast. It's stuff that's coming up for you avid listeners of the podcast. You have that to look forward to.
Yep. Fine. I'll just go ahead and stream Halo 3 that night for you.
Thank you. We also have, of course, the screenshot spotlight of the week, and that is for armor abilities. Lots of active camo ones in here, not many other armor abilities. So this is pretty much the active camo one. I don't know why they just didn't label it that, because actually coming to think of it, these are all active camo ones. Picking out some of my favorites, I think Hidden is a good one for me. Augmented Camo, Tracking Optics, and Inner Flame. I think those would kind of be my four choice ones out of the set that they have for this week. What about you guys?
Augmented Camo, I think, is my favorite.
Yeah. That has to be one of the more cooler ones I've seen so far.
Yeah,
just because of the little bit of green that's up there, and how the brown and the white kind of mix in there. It's just really, really awesome.
I agree on Hidden. I really like black and white sort of stills, and so that looks awesome.
Brent.
I'd probably go with Augmented Camo.
Very nice. I think we have the pot out for the week. Yay! All right, so that is your bulletin for this week, ladies and gentlemen. Remember, if you want to get a little bit of a recap of what happened during the play date from Monday, or if you missed it and you want to see what you missed, check out the first part of the bulletin from this week. That will be, of course, linked in the show page when this gets posted. Moving on to some Halo 3 stuff. For everyone who's wondering about DLC, all the prices that were kind of set before Halo 3 became free are still in effect. So Heroic Map Pack is still free. The Cold Storage DLC is still free. But the Legendary and the Mythic Map Packs you still have to pay for. So I believe I'll look this up real quick. I believe the Legendary is $1. I believe the Mythic 1 is $2 and the Mythic 2 is $4? Is that right?
So $7 total? Is that a Bungie reference?
I would hope that it is.
I did not even make that connection. Wow.
Or did I miscount that? You said $1, $2, $4.
Yeah,
so that's 7, right?
That's what I said.
Yeah. So, hey, look, Bungie reference.
I'm going to confirm that, but yeah, I think so. So, if you're looking for all the DLC, definitely, you can definitely go out and get it. Another good way to do it is if you want to go out and actually buy Halo 3 ODST, you can get all the maps on the multiplayer disc there. It's all on disc. You don't have to buy any additional DLC. And you get, in I think what most people's opinion is probably one of the best Halo campaign experiences that you'll ever play.
Yes.
So you get the best of kind of both worlds there. You get all the maps from Halo 3 that have ever been made by Bungie, and you get an excellent campaign.
And you can Nathan find
Fillion. And Nathan Fillion. And you can get that at GameStop, you can wherever you have used games sold. Probably I wouldn't be surprised if I wouldn't be surprised if Best Buy had it.
It's probably somewhere. I would recommend people that are frugal or looking to save even more money, check Amazon. Amazon has lots of new copies, actually.
Yep. That's where I got my Halo 2 new copy from, straight from Amazon.
Is it... I'm going to have to pull this up, not logged in.
And a lot of them offer the... I don't know if it's still good, but a lot of them offer the... If you buy Halo ODST, and you can get the Sergeant Johnson DLC code with it. I don't know if that still works, you know, because of the whole expiry dates that are on some of those.
Yeah, it's 2 years, right?
Yeah, so I don't know if it still works. But if it does, you know, cool beans.
Yeah.
Not to mention, you know, it comes with Firefight, which, I mean, I know Reach had Firefight, but I personally am a bigger fan of Firefight and ODST just because of the fact that it's endless.
So, I actually lied. The map packs are actually more expensive than that. It's $2 for the Legendary map pack, $5 for the Mythic map pack, and then $10. I'm surprised it's still $10, but $10 for the Halo 3 Mythic map pack. Although it's $5 gold exclusive right now.
So then it's basically, you said 5, 4, and how much?
It's 2 for Legendary, 5 for the Mythic 1, and 5 for the Mythic 2 if you have gold.
Okay, so it's $12. So basically anybody that went out and got Halo 3 for free today can get all of that for $12. Let's just be clear, because you can't get Halo 3 free download and all the other DLC unless you're a gold member.
Right.
So it's $12 at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Because everyone would have that gold exclusive discount.
Correct. So pretty much, $12 for all the additional DLC. That is a total of 13 different maps that you can play. So it's up to you guys. But the Mythic map packs are there's some pretty good maps in there. A couple of remakes. Heretic is remade in one of the maps. Heretic is the remake of Midship.
Yep.
From Halo 2.
Don't forget our favorite. Come on, man. If we're talking remake maps from Halo 2, what's that one map that we all played on and then, you know, it got remade in Halo 3?
Backwash.
Lockout.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, yeah,
what's
Blackout.
What's the Halo 3 name for?
Blackout.
Blackout.
There you go.
Oh, no, people didn't like Blackout that much.
Well, it was an exact replica. Well, the map geometry and the background was different, but it was an exact replica of Lockout, which was the big map in Halo 2 that everybody played.
Right. But people, I don't know, people didn't feel as attached to it as they did with the Midship remake.
Really?
Uh-huh. Definitely true. Everybody loved
a lot of
Heretic.
Everyone loved Heretic. Everyone loved the fact that map was back, and not many people hung on to Blackout that much, believe it or not.
Fair enough.
Yeah. It's still I think it was true to how specifically it was laid out, but I think with the different physics, it altered some of the jumps that you could make. I think that was the big thing, was the different physics in Halo 3. While it was built almost exactly to the Halo 2 geometry, the physics in Halo 3 kind of broke some of the jumps that people were used to.
Yeah, well, I mean, some things changed. Like, some jumps were made really easy. Like, shortcut jump from top middle to Snipe Tower 2 is just the easiest jump of all time now. Not to mention, bottom middle used to be a straight hallway that you could see all the way from S1 to BR Tower 1 or BR1. Now it's got like a little bend in it, and you can't really snipe the full length of the hallway. And I mean, there's all sorts of things you can nitpick about it. Some jumps being removed, like being able to jump from up from elbow to snipe two. That had to be added in Forge. And by that point, you know, people were just like, blackout.
So, seeing as you guys are doing the map coverage stuff, should I pull up the Halo canon nerd stuff about Heretic / you know, Midship?
Sure.
Okay, well, this is kind of a shot at the Halo canon for people that'll listen to the Thursday War, but the ship that's actually in that is actually called Pious Inquisitor, and that's a big plot point from the book, Thursday War. So, you know, if people wanted to know, like, little cool things about the map, that ship is actually in the Thursday War novel that you played on.
Interesting.
I wonder if
they did
that
intentionally.
I'm pretty sure they did that intentionally.
Yeah, I think everything's pretty much done intentionally at that point.
Yeah.
Huh. Halo has a Bible, for Pete's sake.
Yeah, that is true. I wonder how big that Halo Bible is.
Probably bigger than a regular Bible.
I have to assume that most of it's
remember,
just digital.
Remember, now we're in the future. Yeah, it's going to be digital.
Yeah, it's not an actual physical Bible anymore. It's probably all digital.
Yeah, big PDF. Enough it can't fit on a Kindle. Yeah,
massive PDFs.
Big enough, I'm sure they can carry it all around on their Windows phones that they all carry.
Oh, gosh.
I don't know. How big do you think that PDF would be? Probably several hundred megs, right? Depending if they have images in there or if it's just text, then yeah, it might be smaller. But I assume they'd have like sketches and images and all that nice stuff. Like if you look at the encyclopedia and the Art of Building Worlds, I mean, if you think of that, all that included in the Halo Bible at least 10 times over.
That's
probably an understatement. Yeah, exactly.
It's under lockdown. We'll never see it because even people at 343, I presume, don't even get to see it. Only a select few that are in charge of the content, franchise management, are probably the only ones that get to see it.
Yeah, the position that Frankie holds, basically.
Yeah, and Kevin Grace and a couple other people.
Yeah, very few people. So,
back to maps. Sorry.
Yeah,
Halo 3.
Back to maps. Get your stuff. Get your DLC. At least get the free ones. There are some playlists that do require DLC.
Yeah, I was just about to ask that. Can you actually play online without getting all the DLC? That was.
There are a few playlists that do not require the DLC, and I'll pull them up here for everyone that is on the stream. But we listened to them last week, and I think it was either 5 or 7 different playlists. Lone Wolves was one of them. I remember off the top of my head. Let me pull up the list real quick. Lone Wolves, Team Slayer, Social Slayer, and Multi-Team are the 5 playlists that do not require DLC. Now, I think I remember hearing somewhere that they may remove some of the DLC restrictions on some of the certain playlists, but as far as when and if that happens, they haven't made any public announcement yet.
Does anybody know what the current Halo 3 population is, like right as this moment?
No, but I know last night it was like around 50,000.
It's pretty crazy.
That's a lot. I don't know how big it was. I remember last night I was playing, it said it was pretty low. It said all players was like 2,300.
Yeah.
Guess it depends on the hours you're playing it.
Well, 50,000 to 2,300 is a big difference.
Yeah, well,
yes,
I think,
but
I mean,
how many of those are young children that had to go to bed when you're playing at 3 in the morning?
That's true.
Yeah, that's a good point. I was kind of up late playing a little bit.
Yeah, I can't remember.
We'll have to see what Major Nelson posts out for the for this week's numbers.
Activity.
Yeah, the activity numbers.
Yeah, I can't remember who it was that posted in the Halo community, but the number that they posted was around like 45,000, and that was only in ranked, I think.
Wow.
And so, I mean, you know, don't take into consideration social, because a lot of people played Social Slayer, and Social Slayer doesn't require DLC either, I believe. So it could be potentially a lot more. We're not really sure.
Yeah. I remember Siren actually making a post on Twitter saying that at one point last week, before Halo 3 came out, that the Halo 3 population numbers were actually over the Halo 4 population numbers.
That's just sad.
Let's a not bit. Really get into that.
We're
concentrating on Halo 3.
Yeah, well, I will say that Halo 3, in terms of just competitive, the MLG playlist had around 800. It might be more now that more people have got it, but it had like 800 the other night. And that right there is like double what Throwdown was constantly seeing, around 400 or 500.
Well, if we're going to talk about comparison the Halo 3 to Halo 4, I mean, did anybody besides me think it was kind of a brilliant marketing ploy to get people interested in Halo again, just by dropping Halo 3 for free? And everyone was basically saying, we want a game like Halo 3, you know, because we love Halo 3. And, you know, that's what a lot of people were saying, you know, their fond memories of Halo 3. And then, you know, as a brilliant marketing ploy, it's like, well, they want a game like Halo 3. Let's give them Halo 3 and get them interested in Halo again. Bam! Halo 3's game of the month for free, you know, and everyone runs and grabs it.
Yeah. And there's I'm assuming, a huge influx of at least older competitive people that have come back to play because of how popular Halo 3 was back in the day. And arguably, Halo 3 is probably the pinnacle of Halo multiplayer.
I'd agree with that point. But you know that.
Halo 2 was my pinnacle, like, because that was like what I dumped. I went back and I checked my stats. That's what I dumped the most hours into. I have over 5,000 games played in Halo 2 versus a couple thousand in Halo 3 and, you know, less in the other games. But, you know, Halo 2 was my pinnacle game.
I can agree with that. I can't really say in terms of tracking because of the fact that during Halo 2, for the majority of my time playing it, I played at LANs, and I didn't have online until really late into Halo 2. But I think still my stats late Halo 2, only having it for about 8 months, I still played over like 1,500 games. So it was like a ton. But I definitely played more Halo 3. And I agree. I agree that people, you know, they feel like they miss that because Halo's changed so much since you know, Reach and 4 have come out. And I can feel that, you know, that people really do wish it was like yesteryear in a lot of ways, but you know, it comes down to what 343 wants to do.
Correction for me, looking at my Bungie.net stats, 3,322 games for Halo 2, 1,498 games for Halo 3.
Whoa, yeah, that's a big difference.
Yeah, I like. Sorry, I was off by 1,000, but you know, pretty close on Halo 3. There you go.
Yeah.
And it's not like you can play online games for ODST and you know, Reach. Well, Reach was a fun game, just not my favorite of the Bungie Halos. We'll just leave it at that.
I see.
Just leave it at that.
That's fine. I mean, everyone has their game that they like.
Exactly.
And I know some people, their favorite game is Reach. Some people is Halo 4. Some people is Halo 3. And some people is Halo 2.
Halo 1.
And very few people with Halo 1.
Yeah.
Hey, so am I going to find you busting out Halo 1 and playing on, Microsoft does not condone or support this use of a product with their name and such not whatnot, but the Xbox Kinect? Were you one of those guys that used to play Halo 1 on Xbox Kinect? I think that was what it was called.
Oh, XPC and stuff like that? Or?
Yeah, well, no, not just Halo PC. Like, there was that...
No, XPC. No.
Yeah, exactly. It was the only way you could play Halo multiplayer online unless you played the PC version. I just remember that.
I played it before, but most of my Halo 1 came from landing, so...
I've used X-Link Kai, and I've used Xbox Kinect.
Yeah.
I think most people that have wanted to kind of play those games over the internet since Live has not supported it anymore, have done so.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, even if it's technically against those terms and services, I mean, I don't see how it can really be that way, because you're just emulating extended network from your own network, and you're not tampering with the game or the system specifically. Yeah. You're tampering with your own stuff that is outside the realm of the Xbox and the game.
Which is why I'm sure they didn't shut them down. Like, if you had somehow modified the software on the Xbox or the Xbox hardware or whatever, then they might have gone after this group that created that much loved, you know, which could arguably be said that it was the prototype for Xbox Live, possibly.
Well, and even if you didn't have those, there's certain techniques that you can do without those pieces of software, especially if you're running Linux, that you can go in and manually alter those ARP tables and mappings of network flow and all that stuff. It's definitely possible without all that additional software.
Yeah, what most people don't understand is that it's not necessarily an entire new service that you're paying for. Like, you're not paying for a bootleg version of Xbox Live. You're basically just system linking. Like, your games, all your lobbies show up in a system link lobby. So it's the same way, like, when I was at college, we could do the same thing over a private server between all the dorms. I mean, we could just happen to see other people in dorms that might be a mile away from us because we're all on the same network. So it's just a system link. It's just system link nationwide, sort of.
Yeah, and I remember quite a few times during college when I would do that, too. We would do, for at least Halo 2 and Halo Halo 1 sometimes, we would launch X-Link Kai or Xbox Connect and do it across campus.
Yeah, that's what we would do.
Because, I mean, if that was the way you wanted to play across campus and there were other people that wanted to play, then that's how you played.
I believe the correct networking term is super awesome wide area network. We'll just go with that.
This is Swan. Swan. I see.
Swan?
Swan. Swan song.
Well, you have an extra A. Super awesome.
Yeah. Okay. No, super awesome wide area network. Swan.
Swan. Swan?
Swan
is Swan.
Awesome. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Swan. Yeah. Let's just go with that. Wide area, awesome wide area, okay, right.
All
right,
so the things I've learned on PodTac tonight, none of us know simple math, and none of us know how to spell.
There you go.
I have a master's in computer science. That means I have a good understanding of math.
I know.
So I'm excluding myself from that statement.
Mr. Masters, I only have a bachelor's. Yeah.
Yeah.
Aren't you special? Yeah.
PSO.
For... going through, let's see, some of the other stuff from Halo 3. Gosh, do we want to touch on campaign at all? Because Halo 3 was the finale in the Halo trilogy.
The original Halo trilogy.
Well, no, it's titled the Halo trilogy. This one is the Forerunner Saga now.
Okay, sure, the Reclaimer trilogy. Yeah, okay, fine, fair enough.
Yeah. So, as far as what Bungie had intended for Master Chief's story, this was the end-all, be-all of what they had. So, as far as people are concerned with the story, if you haven't played through Halo 1 and 2, there are some things that you wouldn't get right away. But Halo 3, in terms of story, it's a little bit faster paced than what I would have liked personally. And if you guys want to talk about that, we definitely can. But it has a pretty good story overall for a video game. It has some very touching points in it, too.
And it was the first Halo that gave us non-split screen co-op.
Yeah, you could freaking do four people at one time. Like, that was pretty groundbreaking in terms of co-op for the Xbox 360, I think.
Back in the day.
Well, and the nice thing about the co-op in Halo 3 was that you were actually able to be different people.
Different characters.
So, different characters. So the first character was Master Chief, the second one was the Arbiter, the third one was the Blue Elite, and the fourth one was the Red Elite?
It was a purple, I think. Dark purple.
Blue, red, close enough.
We don't know their names.
Did they actually have names?
Yeah, they actually had side stories and stuff, too.
Yeah.
Let me see if I can dig this up real quick.
Yeah, but I say, you probably know more about it than I do.
Oh. Yeah. I just can't remember.
Just personally, I didn't find the campaign to be very fun. I found it to be kind of boring. And it's not just because I'm a multiplayer guy. I've definitely, always played all the Halo campaigns. Halo 2, I can't tell you how many times I played that campaign over and over and over again before I had Xbox Live. But Halo 3, to me, was just really kind of boring, like the campaign itself. Not to, like, burst anyone's bubble or anything. It's just, that's my personal opinion of it. I thought it was really slow. I thought Cortana popping up all the time on screen was super annoying.
Took you out of the moment when you were just starting to enjoy the story. Yeah, I kind of agree with that. And the Gravemind, drilling into your brain and shaking your controller.
Yeah. I mean, there were just certain aspects of it that were fun, that were new and different and exciting. But at the same time, I just felt like the pace was really slow. And I honestly think I've only probably played it all the way through maybe two or three times.
As for those characters that you played other than the Arbiter, the first one was in the blue was called, I know I'm going to butcher the name and someone's going to scream in the chat, but Natoth Soram, S-R-A-O-A-O-M, Soram, so I'm probably butchering it. And the purple slash really dark red is Uz Taham. That's their names.
Wait, say, okay, so...
The blue one was called Natoth Soram.
Natoth Soram, okay.
Depending on how you want to say it. And he was a young separatist elite loyal to the Arbiter. I mean, I could go into the story, but, you know, people can look that up. And the purple, dark red, super dark red one, I think it was the Flight, or was it Commando Armor, whichever. I'm sure someone will correct me. His name was Uz, U-S-Z-E, or Z-E for you Americans, Taham. That's apostrophe T-A-H-A-M. Taham, depending on how you want to say it.
Interesting.
And then it goes on to give their little backstories and whatnot. You can check it on, like, Halopedia.org, Bungie.net. You know, you'll have to search a bit, but those are their names. Just look up Halo 3 co-op elites and go get the story.
I have to look it up because I've actually never looked into those backstories before. Like, we know the Arbiter's backstory from Halo 2 and everything, and we obviously know Chief's story, but I've never actually taken the time to go look at the other elites in there.
Don't worry, I'll school you when we do the Thursday War.
All right. As far as some of the other stuff in the campaign, there was the Terminals.
Yeah.
The introduction.
First look at the Didact.
The very first looks at a lot of the Forerunner stuff that was going on, other than just like the little blurbs that we have mentioning of Forerunners since they built the Halos and everything. But we have this whole sets of dialect going on between lots of different people throughout the Terminals in Halo 3, and they would change. Well, some of them would change based on difficulty, but those were some. I think that's when people really started to dig into a lot more of the Forerunner side of Halo, the Halo universe.
That's because that was the first kind of point where you got any information beyond, you know, just, hey, they're the Forerunners and whatnot. They're old, and this was like the first time you really kind of got that.
Yeah.
You know, any kind of information on them, really.
I have the feeling that's kind of when they exploded. For the most part, I think that's when the whole universe, in my mind at least, just really began to blossom and make room for a lot of this additional stuff that we have today. Like we had the books, we had the first trilogy, Fall of Reach, Flood, and First Strike, when Halo 1 game came out.
We also, when Halo 1 came out, no, we didn't. Halo 1, the first book was The Fall of Reach. That came out like a week before before the game came out. In between Halo 2 and 3, or Halo 2, we had First Strike and
The Flood.
And the Flood, because that's the retelling of the Halo campaign from Halo 1 with some extra side story.
Yeah, and I want to pause on that one real quick, because I know a lot of people don't like The Flood because a lot of it's just a recounting of the story, but for the other side of some of the other stuff that gets covered, like some of the other squads of Marines that are going out, it's actually some pretty interesting stuff.
Well, let's just put it this way. That was the first introduction of the ODSTs. So without that book, I mean, other than one like little mention in the Fall of Reach, they wouldn't exist. That book is where they came, you know, where they focused on them, and you know, you got to find out how they dropped in, you got to meet Major Silva and all these other characters. And then that was your first point where you got to meet the what was his name? The Covenant Grunt. Yap. Yeah. So that was the first time you got to meet that character, and you got to see the first look at the inside of the Covenant political and whatever, you know, their side of the story. That was your first glimpse at
their societal structure, pretty much.
That's what I was looking for.
Yeah, so there's lots of things between 1 and 2. And then, did Ghosts of Onyx... I guess that came out after Halo 2, right? That's when we saw Ghost of Onyx Ghost Contact of Onyx Harvest.
Came out just before Halo 3's release. I think it was like late 2006, you know, before the beta or something like that. But, you know, they had to get rid of the other Spartans that were alive that weren't in the game for some reason. They had to put them somewhere to make sense, you know, that kind of stuff. But yeah, Ghost of Onyx came up just before Halo 3, roughly.
And I still want to see them come back in the game somehow. I don't know if they'll ever do that, but I think it would be really cool if we saw some of John's former squad mates make it into the game.
It's the wish of many of the non-multiplayer and the canon heads out there that they do that somehow, in some form, whether it be in a book, especially the games, some kind of media. That is a wish that many fans actually want to see happen.
Right. It's a lot of interesting things that have just kind of exploded. And I guess if Ghost of Onyx came out right before Halo 3, that means there's a whole lull period of I guess, time between Halo 2 and Halo 3 where they weren't really working on any additional fiction. Or at least releasing it.
A three-year cycle. Halo 2 to Halo 3 was 2004 to 2007.
I mean, look at all the books that have come out since Halo 3, between Halo 3 to Halo EST to Halo Reach and to Halo 4. I mean, we've had a lot of books come out now.
Let's see. We had
Contact Harvest.
Cold Protocol. You also had the Evolutions book, the Cryptum trilogy, and the Kilo 2/3 of the Kilo 5 trilogy.
Yeah, Kilo 5 trilogy, and then Halo Uprising, if you consider that.
All the comics and the Halo graphic novel and the encyclopedia.
Yeah, so there's lots of stuff. Lots of publications that have come out since Halo 3 that really just added to the universe, pretty much.
Yes.
And that's kind of why I say it, Halo 3 and with the terminals, I think, because that's when Microsoft started to take over a little bit more, was when you saw kind of the production of ODST. You started to gradually see that shift, and then you saw a lot of emphasis when Reach came around, and then how quickly that translated over to Halo Waypoint.
Don't forget, since we're talking about Forerunners, the first appearance, if you want to be slightly corrected, was the Halo 3 Iris campaign. I don't know if anybody besides me remembers that.
I definitely remember it because I was slated to win one of the prize packages.
Yeah, the blue shirts with the Iris.
Because at the time, my account was still labeled as a child account, even though I wasn't a child anymore. And so I wasn't eligible to receive it. So I was like number 89 to claim out of the 100 for week 2 of the Iris stuff. And I never was able to get it.
eBay, man. eBay.
Really?
Oh, I'm sure there's someone out there that's eBaying their stuff.
But there was only 100 that went out for each one.
Money talks.
I don't know if I have that kind of money.
Well, I don't know what they're selling it for. I'm just saying money talks. But Mr. Williams here came up with a very good fact that you should pull from the chat and mention in the stream, because there's good info there for people that want to find Halo 3.
I see. So, Annie or Typo, which do you prefer?
Well, these days, definitely Typo. It's been a while since I've been Anorexic Leader.
Yeah, that's just how I remember you as.
Yeah.
In the day.
I mean, I still have a few people from early college that still call me Annie because I hadn't changed my gamer tag then. So I get both, but mostly Typo now.
Okay. Well sorry
typo
if I keep
has
on
information.
Sorry if I keep on calling you Annie.
Oh no, it's cool.
So as far as he just posted something in here. Interesting thing. GameStop is selling ODST for $7. It's used, of course. It's not new or anything, but you can go get it for $7. I'm guessing you can probably find a new copy on Amazon for $20, maybe $15. Maybe. I don't know.
Possibly. Hold on.
Someone go check real quick.
Yeah, I'll do it. Hold on.
We try to find the cheapest deals possible, us as gamers. So definitely check around. GameStop is a good place. Amazon's a good place. eBay, of all places, is a good place.
For a brand new copy of Halo 3 ODST, I don't know if this is direct from Amazon. It says it's $13.52 if you're an Xbox Prime member. Or sorry, Amazon Prime member.
Xbox and, Prime member.
and if you buy it from non-Amazon, $11 and like it's through Amazon, but from non-Amazon direct sellers, $11.57.
That's not bad.
U.S., which is basically the same as Canadian, so you know.
Yeah, so it's $13.50 essentially for Amazon Prime. Or
if you want to support Microsoft doubly and get two games, you can buy Halo 3 ODST / Forza Motorsport 3 for brand new for $17.80.
Oh my gosh!
Wow.
I'm just throwing it out there. You Forza know, that's 3. On Amazon.
We're looking at a dated game for both sides.
I'm just that's putting awesome. It out there.
I know.
For $4 more, you want to get a second game, you can. Brand new.
Yeah, that works well. If you like the racing games, I guess that's a very good deal. I'm kind of eyeing the ODST collector pack right now, at least because I have that on the Amazon site.
Yeah, that was kind of a disappointment for me. I'm a collector of all the limited editions, and that collector's pack. I mean, it's cool that it had a controller, but it's just a game and a controller and a ugly-looking package.
I went and got on eBay, I think, for $80.
Well, if you like it, I mean, that's, you know, I'm not throwing down on you. It's just my opinion. I think they could have done a little, even if it was just like a metal case or something like that.
Yeah. Or if you want to go the Halo 3 Legendary Edition route, you can go get the helmet for $150.
Is it still $150?
Yeah.
Really? Wow.
Well, new it is. On Amazon.
Oh. Well, I'm sure people can look other places and find it for less than that.
Probably.
If they look hard enough. Or not really, but, you know.
Yeah,
always,
probably.
Always consider your options, audience. Never buy it unless you really, 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 really got to have it right now at that stated price. There's no reason you can't look around and make price comparisons.
I'm surprised there's still some listed as new around.
I know a friend who bought Halo 3 ODST brand new last year, I think. We were down in the States. He bought it from Fry's for like $8. Still had the saran wrap on it. Or sorry, the cellophane.
So, the saran wrap.
Yeah, saran wrap. You know, so it just depends on where you go. I mean, you can come across a good deal.
Very nice. So yeah, check all your local used games shops for if you want to go the route of getting ODST to get that multiplayer disc, that would be a good way to do it. And that way you just have that there and don't have to worry about buying the DLC. So that's, you're essentially, I guess at that point, if the DLC is $12, then you're getting for $13.50, for an extra $1.50, you're getting ODST. Not a bad deal. Now, of course, you don't get the campaign, but you can just go and download Halo 3 and play the campaign from there since that's free. So
free's good. Yes.
Free's
audience.
Good. Yes.
Other people in this chat should chat besides, or this podcast should talk besides me and Dusty here.
Get some input, people.
I'm just ready for the CSR versus Halo 3 matchmaking discussion and ranks and all that jazz. That's what I'm here for.
let's jump ahead to that then.
Go for it.
Sweet.
Just shoot away, man. I'll direct it after. I'll just keep on directing it. But yeah, if you feel you want to just talk about something, we have a little bit of time just kind of talking about everything Halo. I want to get to a little bit more campaign stuff, of course, and get to the multiplayer. Yeah. Go ahead and do your, like, the little tangents here are okay, as long as they're Halo 3 related.
Well, there's a submission from GameDude03, who I believe is in the chat, right?
Yep, yeah. He is.
Sweet.
Yeah, he is.
All right, well, he's a lucky duck. So anyways, Game Dude wrote in, and I noticed he was talking about CSR and Halo 4 and the visible ranks and Halo 3 and 1 to 50 and all that. And so I'm going to read his submission, and we'll shoot from there. So anyways, hey Brent, so great that you're back. That's not why I'm writing this, though. I have some thoughts about what needs to change for Halo 5. First off, Halo 5 needs to have some version of social and ranked playlists. The system in Halo 3 worked well, and I think it still does. Second, the ranking has to be harder. Even with that CS4 and Halo 4, It's too easy to rank up. 343 needs to use a version of CSR in Halo 5, but visible in-game and harder to get. What's the point of having rank when no one can see it in the game? People telling me all that bull about if they do a 1 to 50 rank, people will sell their accounts and all that stuff. I know that, but there's always flaws and things. And the flaw in Halo 4's ranking system is that it's too easy. I know there's something in a game that always has problems. The reality of it all is that there's more problems than there should be. More than half the time, people and myself get into conversations about Halo 4 where you can hear the disappointment in their voices. But Halo 4 does have things like Siren features of custom loadout, sprint, and the updated weapon balances. I would love to see these continue to the next game. I like Halo 4, and I think it's a good game too, but I don't want to see Halo die like this, and I'm sure you don't either. Thanks for reading my rant. It's one thing that 343 needs to do is go back to the core mechanics of Halo and start there. I just hope it's not too late. Forge you later, guys. So that's awesome. I think that's a really good rant about, you know, the things that Halo has done in the past and what it could do to continue. Would you guys like to weigh in on anything he says before I kind of just say my thoughts?
I think custom loadouts need to be in the game, but no plasma pistols and no bolt shots as secondaries. You need to only have a primary weapon, whether that be an assault rifle, BR, DMR, hell, even if they let you put shotguns. I know that's a bad idea. I'm just using that as an example. Weapons that change game balance and basically make vehicles completely useless need to be put on the maps. And I believe personal ordnance needs to be taken out of the game because it breaks the game.
Okay.
Sprint and only a few armor abilities. Sprint needs to stay, but But something like jetpack and active camo need to be weapon, you know, something you pick up on the map. Again, it needs to go back to Halo 2, 3, and 1, where something like that you can't constantly use. It needs to be something you pick up, and it's either team can pick it up. You know, it reappears on the map like after a set period. Because you remember how we always used to be like, shit, the rocket launcher is spawning in 3 minutes or whatever it was, right? You know, that's the kind of thing it needs to be like.
Oh, definitely. Anybody else? Sprint? Discussion? You can get into that.
We're gonna have several podcasts.
Bring back Armor Lock.
Oh God.
Oh.
Okay.
Control Lock.
Okay.
Sorry.
Okay.
That was
bring,
my joke.
Bring it. Bring. So. Yeah. There. Well, I'll talk. Yeah, we'll talk after podcast.
I just Armor Locked the conversation. Apparently.
I can't all speak. Right, well, you Armor Locked my voice.
All right. Well, I'll rebuttal rant on this here. So. Basically, I want to talk about ranks, and I do want to talk about selling accounts. So here we go. So basically, yes, in Halo 3, we had a 1 through 50 ranking system. People did sell accounts. That's definitely true. Most people don't remember this, but KBC, he was a member of Podtacular for a while. We used to play a lot in the different leagues that we had around on the site, but regardless, I used to play a lot of MLG playlists with that guy, and he had a bright idea one day to start a website called The Perfect Level or UpPerfectLevel.com, which doesn't work anymore because, well, as you know, there's no accounts to be sold really in Halo. Like, Halo Reach just kind of killed that whole idea. And from a Microsoft standpoint, it makes good sense. Basically, people, were boosting accounts and they were selling 50s. He had pros on there selling their accounts for $200-$300. People were making some bank off of the idea.
He had some that were selling for a lot higher than that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just saying, like it did happen. It's not that, you know, people just make this up. It literally was something that happened, and it happened a lot.
And before Recon, everyone got Recon. There was the stealing people that had Recon's accounts and stuff like that. I remember that.
There were definite issues like that. I didn't see it as too big a problem because in the way I see it is it's just like if you get an item on Diablo, and I know they're shutting down the auction house and other stuff, but it's just like if you get something rare or if you have the time and the ability to get to, you know, every playlist level 50, maxed out with a bunch of pros on your account and you want to sell it, then it's just like selling a WoW account or a RuneScape account or something like that. Like, I don't see a problem with the fact that someone makes bank off of putting time into it. I don't see an issue. Microsoft obviously sees an issue with that. And that's why, you know, Reach changed the structure of that to where it really couldn't happen. I mean, what were you going to say you did? You boosted a bunch of social matches? Like, that doesn't really show anything. And in Halo 4, CSR not being visible. Yeah, there's nothing flashy in the game to show that off. But the problem, too, that's underlying of all of that is that the actual ranking system was so broken, and most people don't understand how broke it actually was. You could get to a level 50 by properly boosting accounts, playing with somebody that had a high win-loss ratio versus their partner in doubles or something that had a ridiculously horrible win-loss ratio. And once you actually won a game, the game would just overcompensate the win. You could get to a 50 in like 20 games.
It happened. I remember that. We always used to do that. I mean, my KDR, as a lot of people use that as a measure of a value of a player, was only 1.25 or something like that. But my win-loss ratio was like 4-1. So I know exactly what you're talking about to get those the higher ranks.
So, I mean, it was an issue at the core. But the other problem that we had is if you played consistently. So the idea, right, when we saw it in Reach, is that if you play over time, you should become a better player, right? Like if you've been playing Halo since Halo 1, then undoubtedly you should be a good player. You should know what's going on. But the thing is not everybody has the thumbs or the capability of being a good gamer. Doesn't make them competitively it doesn't give them any competitive merit just because they've played a ton. So basically – You could start off in Halo 3 and not know anything at all. Like your first Halo game, you've never done anything at all, and you play 800 matches or 1,000 matches or something crazy. And by the end of it, right, the game already thinks you're like a level 35. But by the end of it, you're honestly as skilled as a level 50. Like you could wreck shop against 50s all day. You could actually be that skilled of a player. But since you have so much negative win or so much just added social win losses and other things, you can't move. So you would get level locked.
And you mean like going between like level 35 and 36, 35, 36 every time you'd win or I remember those that right. period. So, breaking that 40 was what made me almost give up on Halo 3.
Exactly. And so the problem really was once you got to like a higher level, say you were playing for your 45 or something like that, you'd get your 45 after winning like 18 games straight. You wouldn't drop a single game. You'd finally get your 45, and then you'd lose one game, and you'd go straight back to 44. And you'd have to grind all the way again. And so it was really frustrating because there was literally no way besides making a new account, boosting, or just, you know, getting lucky and getting a good account run up to 50 or something. Yeah, once you got there, you're stuck. My account in particular, I will forever be stuck at 41. The only way I could possibly get a 50 is if I were to go into Team Slayer and just not drop like the next probably 20 games straight. I could probably get from a 41 to a 50 if I won straight because I only have like 40 games played. But it was an issue, like literally an issue where you would get level locked and you could boost accounts and then you could sell accounts and you could use those bad accounts like my account, you could boost that a little more with losses, and then I could help others do that. So it's a rampant problem that they really couldn't solve. Like whenever I was questioning Quinn Del Hoyo, who came from the Gears community, because most people don't know, when I left Halo and Reach, I went to Gears. I know Quinn very well. We've talked about tons of stuff. I was questioning Quinn a lot when they were announcing CSR. We talked about a lot of different systems between Gears 3, Gears Judgment, Halo, and ultimately, he let me know, like, you know, CSR can't exist in the game because of the fact that it's still built off of true skill. True skill is the problem. True skill is the underlying issue. True skill came out in Halo 2, guys. That's 2004. And we're still using true skill. So since true skill is flawed at its core dynamic, that causes Halo 3 to be very, very easily exploitable. And if that same thing was visible in Halo 4, people would complain about it to Kingdom Come. So that's the problem. Basically, in Halo 5, your best hopes are they're introducing the new matchmaking system, which is supposed to be like, what, True Match or Smart Match or something like that.
I think it's true match, yeah.
Yeah, you know, hopefully there's some algorithm that they're using close to League of Legends or something like that, that is going to better group you. Because they've been talking a lot about how, you know, if you're a jerk online, if you boot people or you cheat or other things, like you can negatively vote that person. I've been talking a lot about the social features of
Xbox jerk. One. Yeah.
Yeah. If for Xbox One, if you're a jerk, we can kind of segregate you and you can only play with jerks. They've talked about that. But I'm thinking from a competitive aspect, how is it actually going to help ranks? You know, is it actually going to be something? Because obviously they're building this console for 10 years. So whatever they've got planned for Smart, True, whatever match it's called, it's got to be something that will build off and not be a problem that we've had since 2004, like TrueSkill. Because TrueSkill is in almost every game. It's like a free service to Microsoft. It's in Gears of War. And if you've ever played Gears, it's the same problem. You can be a level 100 in that game, and it mean absolutely nothing because you can automatically get matched up with a level 1. And you're like, what?
And you can earn your level 100 by playing what is it? Against bots. I can't remember the game mode.
I mean, you can just it's just social rank essentially. It's not even an actual skill. But I mean, you would think that, you know, if you've grinded that much time into it to be a level 100, you wouldn't automatically get matched with a level 1. It's weird stuff like that happens. Systems fault.
I echo that. There needs to be a jerk field, a jerk wall, paywall, whatever you want to call it, a jerk barrier. Because, I mean, look at it right now. Grand Theft Auto, if you're playing Grand Theft Auto online, it says if you're a jerk, you're going to get matched up with jerks if you do it too much. If you play nice and you're not a jerk, they reward you with free money. I just got my free $1,000 or $2,000 for not being a jerk and stealing people's cars and blowing them up. I mean, you know, we did that privately on our own servers, but when you're out there in the public, you know, server and stuff like that, it says right out there, if you get too much of a jerk, you're going to get put in the jerk servers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think
I think they're doing that with Xbox One as a system too, at least from the promotional thing that they put out earlier this week. It seemed like their matchmaking was going to be a lot more in a similar fashion to what GTA has done.
Yeah.
And quite frankly, I'm all for it. But the problem is, I'm not a jerk. I mean, I was a jerk when I was early on Xbox. I'm not going to lie. I mean, we all were as
teens. How could you?
Exactly, right? But I know my Xbox, whatever, the reputation, it's called. Yeah. I had 90-something, high 80s. And after I got Modern Warfare 2, my rep dropped to 60 because I was good at Call of Duty. And, you know, I wasn't verbal. You know, we don't like talking to randoms. And maybe, you know, people will say that's antisocial or whatever, but we always played in our own parties. So only our own buddies could hear what we said or, you know, yet you still get people that rank you because they're butthurt or upset. Yeah. Sorry, that's not the correct phrase to say. That's incorrect. Screw it. Let's just go with butthurt. They're upset, you know, lose.
That works.
No, it's totally true.
You know, and they rate you, bad. Like, you know, they say, like, mm-hmm. I can look right now. It says 41% unsportsmanlike conduct. Well, I'm sorry I won. Is it a problem that I won and you just couldn't win? I mean, like,
yeah,
that's something that they're going to have to figure out before they implement this, because otherwise you're going to get a lot of people dumped in this list, this segregation that do not belong there. And I know that's going to be a story that pops up on any gaming site the minute that happens. And they need to make sure they got that locked down before they implement it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree.
Funny thing on my rep, since you brought it up, I have 60% prefer, 40% avoid.
Exactly. That's
what I was ridiculous.
Yeah.
I've got 61% preferred, so I beat you by 1%. I'm 1%. I'm the 1%. Yo.
Dang it.
I totally understand.
I have 42% unsupporting conduct, 13% exactly. Aggressive.
Like, yeah, exactly. Or here, since we're comparing, I guess I should sign into Xbox Live and have a look. I think I know for a fact that it's people are upset that I win because I only got like 10 or 12% or something like that that says, you know, trash talking or quit early or whatever. It's like 2% or something like that.
Yeah. I mean, heaven forbid you're good at a game on the internet, because apparently people just think you cheat or something. Like, I have one friend, I don't know if you guys played Tom Clancy's Ghosts, what was it,
Future Soldier? Recon 1 and 2?
Oh, Future Soldier. I have a friend, I kid you not, he's the best in the world. I'm not even joking. Like, I will boldly tell you, and he's had conversations that would probably put him on that same pedestal. But people think he cheats. They think he hacks. They don't believe him that, you know, there are glitches in the game that he knows that cause him to win and get kills that don't seem physically possible. You know, it doesn't seem physically possible, but it is.
That's exactly what happened to me. I know the last threatening message I got, and this was a while ago because I haven't really been playing other than Halo 4, but in another game, Battlefield 3 for the 360, I was playing as a recon class, you know, in a hardcore. This was my first time jumping into hardcore. So I had a bolt-action sniper rifle that had, like, only one or two attachments, and I kept on sniping the same team over, like, the same squad over and over again, because what would happen was they'd come in on their spawn beacon with their sniper up on a roof. I'd snipe him. The medic would pop in, res him, I'd snipe him again, snipe the medic. Then the next medic would come in, and it was just, like, I got 27 kills on this one, you know, one group, and they called me a hacker because they were stupid and re-rezzing and reviving their buddies out in the open for a sniper that could clearly snipe them from anywhere on the map. It was like, you know, it's people were being dumb, and that's the kind of thing I'm worried about with this Xbox One, you know, thing is if your rep is marked negative, they better have a good counterbalance to know that it's possible not rep that you didn't earn.
Well, the other thing too, just because you're quote unquote a jerk doesn't mean that you're bad at the game, because I know some jerks. I mean, just the common saying kind of in the Gears of War community is like, if you go to a Halo tournament, it's a bunch of snarky white kids. If you go to a COD tournament, you'll see more parents than kids because they have to sign waivers. But if you go to a Gears tournament, you're going to get shanked. Because they have that kind of alpha male attitude, you know, and some of them too, a lot of them are jerks, but the thing is they're still good players. Like, they're really extremely skillful players. And that just shows like how the esports communities are different. But at the same time, how is that going to negatively affect those guys by being some of the best players in the world? Are they still going to have a true matchmaking rank, you know, that shows us? Is there going to be a playlist that, you know, can somehow counterbalance that? Or is it all going to be based off your rep as are you a jerk or are you not a jerk? Because that's not competitive skill rank necessarily.
I think that's a question for Will Kilsner and Stacey Connolly over at Epic. They're the ones that are the community reps for Gears and the franchise. They're the ones that need to get out there and figure out what the community wants.
Right.
Well, and like you said, they have to have that good counterbalance to where they can identify some people that just go in and mark people bad because they did poorly in the game or they got beat.
Yeah.
I assume they have to take that into account, and they can probably look at some of the game history now, since a lot of the matchmaking stuff is going to be hosted centrally on their servers. They can probably go into some of that game history and look at, okay, well, this person is reporting this person for subordinate conduct. Oh, he's losing a lot, so he's frustrated. Okay, rank those as a lower impact on someone's rep.
Yeah, that makes sense. They could do that. I mean, people already think that, you know, Microsoft and the NSA are working hand in hand, and they're just going
to I'm not sure if the NSA is that.
As we sit naked on our couch eating Cheetos, you know.
Since we're doing that, since we're bringing up the conspiracy series, don't forget,
oh gosh,
the program
here we go.
We're using right now apparently is being recorded completely by the NSA.
Yeah.
So, just putting that out there.
If they want to hear that,
you know,
go ahead.
I'm okay with that. I am not a criminal. I'm not a crazy person that's going to do anything to hurt the, you know, I like my privacy, but you know what? I think most of that is baloney. I mean, you know, and maybe some people might disagree.
No, I can agree with you there. It's just, you know, it's one of those things is we just don't know. There's a lot of things that have been revealed, but we haven't got these really ridiculously intricate details of exactly how it's going to work. You know, we don't fully know the whole story yet of how matchmaking, how they're going to, you know, take voice samples and how they're going to possibly export that data, or if they're going to do anything with it. I mean, it's just like people freaking out over the iPhone
with the thumb scanner.
Yeah, it's the same thing. No one knows.
I mean, yeah, in theory, you could it could happen, but in theory, a lot of stuff can happen to a lot of people in any kind of situation, right? Like, in theory, you could do a crime and do stuff, but you're very likely not to, correct?
Yeah, that's true. But yeah, so the other thing, just to bring it all back in, back to Halo 3, I'd like to make the point that that Game Dude said that he's fine with custom loadouts and sprint and updated weapon balances. But towards the end, he says, you know, they need to go back to the core mechanics. And so the thing is if you look at Halo 1, 2, 3, even Reach, custom loadouts weren't in any of those games. And, they were coming up to Reach, Sprint, same thing. So, I mean, if you want to, get into a bout about the core, well, 4-6 of the games didn't have any of that. And there's a huge camp against Sprint. There's a huge camp for it. I come from playing Halo 1. I never once in my life, whenever Reach was announced, did I say to myself prior to that, this game is too slow and I need Sprint to compensate to get around the map. Like, I never felt that. Even playing Team Snipers on Blood Gulch, like, I still felt like I got around pretty quick and then I had a sniper rifle and that I was doing all right. Like, I didn't think I needed to run places. I think everybody's just too much in a hurry these days, you know?
But then don't forget, you also had any vehicle that you could slightly bump someone and kill them instantly. Like Banshee, don't you remember Banshee spawn killing you? That was only Halo PC on Blood Gulch. Anyways, yeah. You grab a Warthog and just spin around on the map and just spawn kill people at the enemy base. You didn't have to even shoot them. It was just like, you know, oop, bump, your whole team died. Oh, they just spawned, you know, that kind of stuff. Right. So don't forget that.
Yeah, I mean, I just felt like it wasn't really needed necessarily. I mean, I can see why people are for it. Like, if you try to compare Halo in the fact of numbers and how many people are playing online and quote unquote that it's dead or whatever you want to say about the game, you know, everyone knows that some of these things were primarily added to compete with games such as Call of Duty or to be kind of, you know, on the modern curve of things. If Halo's a scientific shooter, you know, it's very futuristic. You would think that, you know, they're keeping with the times, right? I mean, it makes sense, but that doesn't necessarily mean that it's a good gameplay mechanic.
Maybe what Halo needs to do is just completely scrap everything that's out there and start fresh. I know that might scare a lot of people, but that might need be what happens. I mean, you know, everyone's like, yeah, we want Halo 1 or Halo 2 or Halo 3 as the core mechanics, as you guys were calling it, but why does it have to be core? Why can't it be a completely new experience? Just scrap it all and start fresh. What do you guys think about that?
Well, I've had two, not really theories, just thoughts that came in my head over the last couple weeks because people have been making this big push to go back to Halo 3 now that it's free, and Halo 4 is just not fulfilling whatever they wanted out of it. I mean, the numbers are really low, but I know a lot of people were talking about having like a Halo 2 HD remake. I know that's come up many times in conversations, and that would be cool. But would it please everyone? And I think that's where the core question of Halo lies is how can we possibly expect a game as broad as Halo to please the competitive gamer, the casual gamer, the guy that gets drunk and plays on Friday and doesn't really care how good or bad he does, the guy that maps in Forge, you know, the people that like to play just for mini games. I mean, there's tons of mini games. You can't even begin to count, you know?
The guys that like to run around in the campaign and get outside of maps because they can, or right, flip warthogs with grenades and entertain us all on YouTube. Yes.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many different things. Like, you cannot possibly just make a game that works like that. I think ultimately what happened was Halo 2 and Halo 3 were built with a competitive ground, like a ground set of this is how it's going to work, because Halo's always been underlying very a competitive game. And then people made it fun. They found things to do. You know, in Halo 2, like we were playing cat and mouse and zombies or and we were finding ways to get out of maps and super jump and all this stuff. Like, we were making the game casual and fun and increasing longevity. But at the core, like, people still cared if they were good or bad at the game. You know, they still cared at that underlying level that, yes, it's a competitive FPS game on console. So I think now that people are trying to casualize the game in a sense and make it more about the broad audience, you know, to try to capture back some of that audience that's left to go to other larger games that will go unnamed, but we all know what we're talking about. I think it's just because they're trying to make it more of a casual thing, to where they think if we broaden the spectrum, we'll bring in more people want to play this. Whereas I don't think that's what they need to do. I think what they need to do is go back to the core. And by core, I mean, there's three things that make Halo in my mind.
The golden triangle.
There's three things. There's shooting, there's grenades, and there's melee. And that's really it. Like, that's all you need to know. You need to shoot things. You need to have fun while you do it. You need to use grenades, and you need to use them with tactics. Like, you need to know when to throw them, how to throw them, why to throw them. Don't throw them at your teammates. I mean, it's very important. But in Halo 3 alone, between Halo 3 and Reach, there's a lot of issues with grenades. I could get really nerdy and go all the way into it in depth, but there's texture issues that happen in Halo Reach that make no sense. That you'll throw it at a wall and the grenade will come back at you. The jump height makes all sorts of weird wonkiness with the explosives. People call them mini nukes, like all sorts of things. Just changing minor things in the game started to really screw a lot of stuff up from a competitive aspect. And so whenever you look at competitive Reach, like the V7 settings, I think, and arguably some people will say that's the best competitive Halo. Like, there are hardcore fans for competitive Reach V7s that will say that is the definitive Halo experience in a competitive sense. But at the same time, if you set that on one screen beside vanilla Reach, they are two different games entirely. No one wants to do that. If you look at Halo 2 and you look at Halo 3, you couldn't change a whole lot. Like, the game already came shipped to you nearly perfect, to the point that it just kind of worked. You know what I'm saying? Like you don't have to change a whole lot in MLG settings of Halo 3 to make it work. You didn't have the option to really change a whole lot in MLG settings of Halo 2. And did that make the game more casual or more competitive? Maybe it's because the devs just did a damn good job.
Well, and I think to add to your point, though, is the devs were going for a game that they knew they wanted to play, and they knew that a lot of their fans wanted to play. They didn't code the game and make the game to the masses, which is kind of what 343 did, was they brought in a lot of that extra stuff, which you mentioned earlier, and were trying to bring in more people, not necessarily keep the game or focus on the longevity of the game. So you lost a lot of that core audience and a lot of that competitive side of things, and now we're seeing this big backswing to Halo 3 because a lot of the stuff that was already in the game for Halo 3 and all the support that it had there. And yeah, you might not get all of the numbers that you would get by making a more competitive, more true to Halo experience game, but you're going to have a longevity that's going to keep players coming back. And I think the longevity is something that needs to be more important, not the sales of units, because if you have the community there that's going to keep on playing the game, then you're going to have other people that are going to see this game being played so much and is like, yeah, oh, I wonder what this is. And the players will come with the community. It might not be nearly as much, but the players will still come.
Since we're comparing Halos, and we're talking about the future of Halo, here's a question, hypothetically speaking, of course. If Halo 5, Xbox One, whatever it's called now, will be called, launches, and they brought back Reach, Firefight, not Spartan Ops. I'm fine. They can call it Spartan Ops, but whatever. If they manage to work the bugs out so it's a more congruent, more
not
what
laggy.
If they gave us? I'm not going there. What if it worked smoothly? We'll just say smoothly, story wise. If they brought us Spartan Ops, Firefight, Forge, and multiplayer, we'll say it'll, and by multiplayer, I'm thinking they have a playlist that'll literally be called Halo 1, Halo 2, Halo 3, Reach, and then vanilla Halo, whatever, not Halo 4, but vanilla, we'll call it vanilla Halo 5, vanilla Xbox One, you know, where it's like, that's Halo in its pure form. And if you don't want to play Halo in its pure form at that stage, you can go play Halo in pure form that you remember, Halo 1. Or if you liked Halo 2, Halo 2. If you liked Halo 3 with, you know, weapon, you know, like, what were they called? Equipment. Say if they bring equipment back. You have your choice. That way, everybody gets to play Halo the way they wanted, just like they did with Halo Anniversary. Lots of people were up in arms that you were going to add new stuff and make it look shiny and it wouldn't be the same. But with the flick of a button, they changed everybody's mind. Who here did not have an awesome experience with Halo Anniversary?
I did to an extent. And the problem with that is people were expecting Halo 1 Anniversary to be 100% Halo 1 remade. You know, with shiny, basically. Like Halo 1 physics, Halo 1 multiplayer. They weren't expecting
Halo not the multiplayer. Reach. Like the yeah, you know? Okay. Well, that's so they didn't, you know, that was so they didn't split the Reach community at the time, the player
right.
base,
okay,
whatever.
So stop right there. So that's what you just said, though.
If
Halo for Xbox One comes out and they give you all the options to play the game as you remember of yesteryear, that splits the community.
How is it splitting it, though? People are still playing Halo Xbox One. Are they not? Are they not putting the game in, enjoying the game, and they're part of the community? Like you said earlier, some people like to play campaigns. Some people like to do this. Some people like to do that. They found fun things to do. So if you gave them options and it was all under one encompassing umbrella of Halo Xbox One, Halo 5, whatever it's called, you can play. You have the choice. You want to play Halo. It was shiny updated graphics as like Halo 1. So there's no sprint. There's no this. There's no that. There's, you know, you're spawning assault rifle and no secondary weapon. You have to pick it up. You want to play Halo 2. SWAT. I'm just saying, like, you know, that's an option that they could have open to them. Like they kind of did with, what was it, with Reach. They had, after the title update, you had vanilla Reach and you had, what was it, 4-hit pistol kill. You had the Halo 1 God pistol, basically.
Yeah.
Is that not what they did? Like, they gave people those options, and people were happy when they did that. So I'm just saying that, you know, if they wanted to do that, you could have the way Halo Xbox One in their, that 343 envisions it, and if those people that do buy it don't like it, they could still stay active, and the population doesn't drop, and, you know, they can play, you know, Halo how they feel, and then, you know, not everyone will be happy, but a majority of the people would be happy. Wouldn't you want to play a Halo game that is shiny and new and you're not separated from your friends? Because it's like, you could play vanilla Xbox One Halo and then your friends are like, oh shit, we're bored. Instead of going to play Halo 3, popping out your Halo 3 discs and, but, you know, pulling out your Xbox 360s, you can be like, okay, let's go play different settings. You know, let's go play Halo. And it's a different Halo. It's the same Halo game, but it's a different experience.
From a technical standpoint, I think it's an entire nightmare. And it wouldn't
work.
I'm
not saying it would be easy. I'm just saying that would be the idea that I would think would help you know, a lot of the distinguished Halo people out there that remember Halo from yesteryear as their super fond memories adjust to newer Halo.
What maps would you play? Would you play the new maps just with Halo 1, Halo 2, Halo 3, Halo Reach, Halo... whatever they be.
Yeah, the settings. I mean, you know, I'm not saying, you know, you'd have to recreate old maps. I mean, that's internal to 343.
Right. Well, that's true. You wouldn't have to recreate old maps. However, the problem is how do you create new maps? Because you have to compensate for different jump heights, different player speeds, different mechanics. Like,
how do you do that? Much like most other of the Halo games, I believe a lot more testing needs to be done, and that one B word that didn't happen with Halo 4. At least an external, a beta would have to happen, a long beta, like a month-long beta.
Yes.
With those settings in place. Like, that's something
beta.
That you could literally...
I'm just trying to sit here thinking like a map like Heretic. How ridiculously breakneck fast that would be playing Halo 4 versus playing Halo 1.
Well, that's the reason you throw out, like I was saying, in the public, like a public beta, if you were to have these different settings, you literally could say, okay, here's a playlist. We all know that 100 million people would literally go into, you know, say if there was 200,000 people, we all know 50,000 people would run right to the Halo 1 playlist. That's how you publicly test the jump height. And then it's like the next time people log in and, you know, they get some feedback, it's like, oh, okay, so a week went by, they said people were jumping too high. This isn't what I remembered. Then you know, whatever, you know, like a large slice of the population is saying, this is not how I remember Halo 1. We ran slower, we ran faster, or, you know, the Halo pistol isn't killing in 4 hits or, you know, 4 headshots, or was it 3, whatever it was. You know, they could adjust it. And then, you know, after the beta goes long, then they can do their more internal testing. But they've got a giant slice of the pie now where they can see where everybody was playing. You put, you know, you can have your settings here, you can have this, and, you know, vanilla Halo, like if a large chunk is playing vanilla Xbox One Halo the way they want to, you know, the way they, sorry, not want people to play, because you're allowed to play however you want. It's what their envisionment is, how you play the game. That 1 month long beta would be how you literally pick up the stats and kind of like a internal, or I guess it wouldn't be internal, a survey. No, I mean, so, I don't know what the audience is saying in the chat room, but what are they saying while I'm saying this? Do they agree? Do they disagree?
Just that the coding would be a nightmare.
Well, yeah, well, Microsoft has the money to worry about that. They have the resources to put it behind Halo. Don't worry. Don't worry about that. It's, you know, everyone's saying they need to listen to us. Is my idea wrong? If it could work, would it grand experience?
Well, yes. If they're milking the heck out of the thing and they want to make it to where people will come back to Halo, then yeah, definitely they have the resources to put time and effort into it, or find other people to hire out and work those custom beta builds. I mean, it's Microsoft. Look at how much money they have.
I'm just saying, in an ideal situation, that would be what they do. I'm not saying that's what they're going to do, but right. I mean, would that not please you if you had the option to play every single iteration of Halo with updated graphics and you know, if, you know, the BR might be, like you said, so I don't like the new Halo, the new BR. I really dislike it. I mean, I hated it in, you know, before the title update. You know, it's great that it's 4-hit, but they've also taken away a lot of the, what was it? In Halo 3, you could headshot across the map with that. I can't headshot across the map with the Halo 4 BR because it's, you know, they've added a little bit of recoil. And that's just my, you know, my complaining that, hey, they changed it, but I still adapt. See, but if you
have that sort of thing too. Because I find it easier in Halo 4 to shoot with the BR than in Halo 3.
Yeah, fair see, that's what I was about to say. Like I've been playing Halo 3 a little bit over the past couple nights, and I got some 1v1s in and some 2v2s, and me and a guy that was on my team for twos, we were talking about, you know, how even on Heretic, like Halo 2 hit scan versus Halo 3 hit scan, like you're going to get 3 shots in the guy maybe off a spawn if you get a lucky spawn and you happen to see him. You're not just going to kill him cross map. Like, it's just not possible. Halo 2, dude, he's dead. Like, if you catch him off spawn, you can get those 4, especially with double shots. Like, you can kill a guy base to base.
Carbine on the spawn. Yeah.
But yes, yeah, so some people will agree, and some people just totally did.
Which is why I was saying, you know, if you had the option, if you wanted to buy support Halo, but you wanted to play it like Halo 1 style, where it's just, I'm just going to use, say they bring back Blood Gulch, and, you know, it's on every variation of settings. Now you've got the Warthog where you can drive in circles and just run people over because, hey, that's what Halo 1
wants. You're talking about just doing this for the beta, right? You're not talking about doing this for the final product.
No, the whole game.
I was thinking the whole thing. I mean,
that would be a lot of time and effort to put into it. That would extend the dev cycle extremely.
You're essentially building 5 games.
Yeah, I wouldn't do that. From a perspective of doing it in the beta, you can mess around with the physics in there and then run those in beta and see what people think. But I don't think
if they see that people want this, why can't they have playlists in Xbox One that offer this? I mean, they did it with Reach.
Because you build a game to a certain style and certain physics set. You don't build it to accommodate multiple different styles of play.
Yeah, but the problem is
if you want those styles of play, that's when you go back and play the game.
Yeah, but you're not going to be able to do that with the next Halo. unless they're bringing back backwards compatibility and you're going to bust out your Xbox 360.
So who's seriously thinking about selling their 360? I'm not. I have four of the frickin' things.
I'm just saying, like, think about this. They want Xbox One to succeed, right? Or Halo 5 or whatever. They did it with Reach, where you could have two playlists, where you had Vanilla Reach, which was DMR spawn and loadouts and this and that, and you had what they called Halo, you know, it came out after or with...
Which a lot of people didn't like, that they were split-minded on their decisions.
Exactly. See, that's the thing. That's the biggest problem, is even though they told people, because I remember, they had a screen when you logged into the game telling you, hey, come play the new whatever, you know, we balance things and fix stuff, and because you remember how, like, at the beginning of Reach, you could just, like, run at someone, and it took four shots to pop a shield rather than three, and you couldn't two-shot be down, like they changed that, you know, in the later version of the game. But the problem was people still, just even though they were seeing the same message saying, come play new playlists, no one did. Like, the numbers were still way lower than the normal, just regular Team Slayer, where it wasn't changed. Like, they needed to make the change 100% live. Like, it needed to be a permanent change.
Straight across
change
the board.
Across the board. And see, the same thing happened in Gears of War Judgment. The same exact thing.
Well, if you look at it, it's 343 trying to appeal to everybody, and that flopped Halo 4. Look at how popular Halo 4 is. Halo 3 is now outranked Halo 4, because with Halo 4 they tried to implement so much features and content in there where it would appease to more people and attract more units sold. But at the end of the day, you're not really looking at keeping the core audience and keeping that fan base really going.
They added stuff we didn't want, and they took stuff that we wanted away.
And there wasn't a beta that was A, publicly made known, or B, that was public. And they have to do that for Halo 5. Even if it's a private beta, but the public at least needs to know about it. Get upwards of 50,000 to 100,000 people on the beta.
Yeah.
Whether it be via unlock like they did for Halo 3, where you had to get Shadowrun.
Let me ask you this.
Or for Halo Reach, where you had to have Halo 3 ODST.
Based on my idea of the four different map, whatever, settings, if they gave people the option to vote, what would you like to see as the next Halo? So say you took vanilla Halo 5, Halo 4 settings, Halo, you know, and you had an option.
You're not building... You're not trying to rebuild a game. You're trying to build the next game. You're trying to take ideas from Bungie games and build it into the next experience.
I get that. But here's the thing. If people are wanting the older Halos, the core as you're calling it,
but you don't look at the games. You look at the mechanics within the games, and you pick out the mechanics that you want to keep. You don't look at the games that you want to keep. You look at the mechanics.
So what do you keep? Yeah. What do you add?
Okay.
And that's the big question that we're going to talk about over the next month of podcasts is what, what are those things?
Here's what you within, keep. I'll a minute. The things you keep are the things that did well within the first three games.
So
not the things that came
late.
But
that's ambiguous. That's ambiguous to everybody, because everyone wants different things. And that's where 343 has the biggest job of all of making Halo 5 or Halo Xbox One successful, is finding that balance to appeal to the majority of the core gamers and the majority of what people want. I mean, there's people that have started the building Halo 5 series, like Cool Legacy has one, Naked Eli has one. There's several others out there that people have started, and I'm thinking about starting one of what people would like to see in the games for Halo 5. And that's what needs to be done. People need to promote their ideas out there and critically analyze all of the past Halo games and what they have done correctly, what some of them may have done incorrectly, what Halo 4 has done correctly, which in some people's minds might be very small, and what they've done incorrectly. So it's just that whole looking at the Halo universe within the games as a whole and picking out those features and gameplay mechanics that would work well in what would be considered a core experience for Halo.
Yeah. Well, I mean, one thing that I think people need to understand, since we're mainly talking about Halo 3, is that equipment was like a trial test, I guess you could say, for what we see in Reach and what, you know, is now Ordnance and stuff that happened in equipment didn't necessarily work in 3. So, I mean, it's not like I'm trying to say Halo 3 is a bad game, because there's a lot of things they did well, but there's a lot of things people could argue they did badly. From a competitive multiplayer standpoint, online play, Hitscan is a great system for a BR fight cross map that we see in Halo 2 and that we see in Halo 4. But on LAN, Hitscan's not necessarily a great system. But the thing is now that we have dedicated servers, you should start thinking more about the game as how it will be played on LAN rather than how it reacts online. So that right there is like a big question for Halo 5 is do we need a projectile system like we saw in Halo 3 where you slightly have to leave the trail and, you know, it's a more skillful system per se. You could argue that because we have dedicated servers, or do we keep with Hitscan from Halo 2 and Halo 4? You know, something that we see that we know is proven to do well in online scenarios. Because what happens when you play customs? Do you get dedicated servers with customs? We don't know.
Right. You know? Well, and the other thing to that is, too, you can have multiple different, like, multiplayer networking engines running for the game. So you could have one that's built for matchmaking. You can have one that's built for LAN. I don't see why they can't do that.
Yeah. What I would love, honestly, I don't know if you guys have played Battlefield 3.
Yes.
I'm not sure what they're going to do in Battlefield 4, but you know how in Battlefield 3 you can buy your own server?
Yep. Like, yep.
You can if you wanted to host a tournament. Like, why the frick can you not do that in every multiplayer game? Like, especially now that we're going to have 300,000 servers, I would gladly pay Microsoft money so that I have a dedicated host for a tournament or event that I'm running in the community for a day.
Oh yeah, I was talking to someone about this too, and I think it would be a fantastic idea.
That could be a solution, I guess. Then, you know, how people could play Halo they want. What if you did have your own dedicated server, but my 343 gave you the option, you know, presets of, hey, you can play Halo 3, Halo 1, 2. You got the autos, you know, like you go into the map setting, and it's like, okay, well, there's Halo 1. You click that,
okay,
and then you run that on your server.
Let's forgo the whole different Halo versions, because that's just, in my opinion, that's the wrong way to approach it.
No. But if you're running your own personal server, that could be a solution to, you know, keeping people interested in Halo.
But it's not really a personal server. It's a Microsoft mandated server that you're paying for.
Well, yeah, but you were bringing up Battlefield. Like Battlefield,
right.
you can't go and set it to
play Battlefield 1 or Battlefield 2 or Battlefield Bad Company. You're just playing Battlefield with
Battlefield 3 with the options of 3. That's what I'm saying. Like, what if they gave you the option to, if you owned a quote-unquote Halo server, if they gave you the option, like, you know, when we go
so
into
you can
Forge,
have your own, you can have your own game types, maybe, and like map rotations, but you're not looking at different experiences of Halo, like Halo 1, Halo 2, Halo 3. You're looking more of like, okay, you can set up your map rotation and game type rotation for this server. You can either make it private or public, private to where people only in your clan can come in, or public to where anyone can come in, and you have a certain rotation list, like any other like PC server would have it.
That's right. Yeah.
You wouldn't have different game experiences.
Right.
I'm just saying, what if they gave you the freedom to do that?
That would be crazy, but I don't think they will.
It would not survive, this is not about what they wouldn't do.
We're suggesting what we'd like to see and how it might bring people back to...
Right. Well, ultimately, I think that could be something that would just honestly be technically impossible.
It's not something that you want to really look for doing, like having different game experiences. You want Halo to progress. You don't want to hold on to the past and try to implement so many different experiences. Right. You want a unified experience for your next game.
To the main, like, okay, so when we were talking about private servers like Battlefield, you can literally select, so you only can play official servers, or you can search in the, you know, the server search menu for private servers.
You're still playing custom games of Battlefield 3, not custom games of Battlefield 1, 2, Bad Company.
But what I was trying to get at was, if you wanted to, we're all talking about the stuff, how they took things away and they took stuff and they put stuff in we didn't want. What if some of the options they gave you was, if you wanted to play on a private server, you had the option to play it how you remember it?
That would be crazy.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I mean, you guys are saying no, but why not? I mean, it's not like it's
because if I want those experiences, I'll go back and play those games. I don't want 343 to go keep on rehashing an experience I already played in another game. I want them to push the franchise forward.
Sure, and there's no reason they can't. But what I'm saying is, Dust, like, why can't you have those options on your own personal server that you're paying your own private, you know, your own money to? If you want Halo 3, play Halo 3. But that's on your server. That's not out on...
Well, the Halo 3 is not going to be on those servers, because Halo 3 is on the Xbox 360 in the old live infrastructure, not the new one.
Yeah, it's not going to work necessarily like that. Like, it's not going to be like you actually own a PC server and you can load your own custom apps like you could for CS 1.6 or something. Like, you're just not going to be able to do that. It's going to be something that the server is owned by Microsoft. Microsoft isn't going to allow that. It'll be in a terms of service agreement. Like, it's just technically impossible.
I'm sure it will be, but we're talking about what we'd like to see, correct,
right,
gentlemen?
What I would like to see is them take a page from Battlefield and let us, since they have 300,000 servers, let us actually pay to take a server for a day, for a month, for a week, whatever the period, and rent that ourselves just for customs, just for team practice, just for running a tournament, like the Halo 5 or whatever it's going to be called, or Titanfall or any of the games. They're going to have dedicated servers. We know that for matchmaking, but we don't know that they're going to have that for custom games where competitive is all played. You don't actually play for money in a tournament, you know, in matchmaking. That doesn't happen. You play in a custom, and if you had an actual dedicated server that you could rent in a custom to make sure that nothing wacky was going on with your connection, that would solve so many issues in multiple games across the Xbox platform.
Okay, so I'm not going to keep pushing the thing, but basically what you're saying is rent a server for a month, a week, whatever, a day, whatever the time period. I was just suggesting, what if they did say that you could do all that stuff? And it's, you know, it's your own private server, but you still had that server, you know, whatever, the mainline servers that played the, you know, the Halo 5 experience. What if they offered that? It's not harming the player base, the player group that wants to play Halo 5, you know. The standard Halo.
I think it is harming it. I mean, I totally agree with what you're saying to an extent. But why I think it's harming it is because the reason Halo 1 was fun was because everyone drugged their TV to their friend's house and they played it together. They played the same game.
If you're not playing the same game,
then I don't know how you branch out of that set.
Okay.
You know, how do you get out of your man cave of just Halo 1 all the time? That's it. You know, that's your Halo 5 experience is Halo 1.
That's you're splitting the community up, and that's where you're going to just kill the franchise, Halo. Really. Yeah.
Fair enough. I was just seeing, you know, giving those people their options, you know. If it means killing the franchise, then I guess no more options. Play the game we say you want.
I think you need less options, but whenever I say that, I don't mean that we need to start the game without playlists that we've had since Halo 2. You know, like that was my biggest.
Well, it's not necessarily the playlist; it's the game mechanics that's been most people's issues.
Right.
And it's not that you can't have those options, but leave a lot of those extra options for custom games and have a good default set out the gate that doesn't have things like personal ordnance and the loadouts and all the other random stuff that's been added to Halo 4 and some Halo Reach.
I mean, that's
maybe keep that all for the campaign only. Like armor abilities, I think are campaign only. Other than
for custom games, it would make sense to keep some of those in there because there are some customs that have come out that have utilized some of the different armor abilities and different game mechanics that have been implemented in Halo. So I wouldn't necessarily take them all out, but restrict certain things to custom games and campaign, and where for matchmaking you can leave those things off by default.
Yeah, what I think ultimately the dev needs to do is they need to pull one over on everyone, like. What I mean is Gears of War Judgment, because I was so deep within the Gears community, I saw this happen firsthand. And the problem was that particular game wanted to be so many different things. It wanted to kind of appeal to one thing. It wanted to kind of appeal to another thing. It added things people asked for, but it also added a lot of things no one asked for. And so the problem was why can't you just launch a playlist, or why can't you just make the default the tweaked more competitive layout? Like why can't you say this is where rockets spawn on the map, you know, in Halo? Why can't you put snipes here? Like why can't you push that to the masses day one, where you've already tuned this so much to where you know what's going to make the game at its core, but still going to allow for a lot of casual enjoyment? So instead of segregating the game, because this happened in Gears 3, this happened in Gears Judgment. So I'm kind of going back and forth between metaphors, but in Gears 3, you saw a lot of playlists that just died. And the same thing can be said about Reach, because you had vanilla, and even though they told you to go play the other thing, no one really did. People that really cared about the game and cared about the fact that the mechanics were broke, like, you saw that 2,000 something people in there playing it. But the majority, they didn't care. They just didn't heed the warrant at all, and they just kept playing Slayer like nothing even happened. And so the problem here is you need to consolidate, but you don't need to just take away. You need to basically trick everyone into playing the most core element of without coming out and showing them that there's two separate playlists. See what I'm saying? I know that's kind of hard to follow, but you don't need to have a Slayer, and you don't need to have an alternate Slayer. You need to just say, you know what? These are deemed the best thing for the game. Just push them live to Slayer. Everyone bite a bullet and say, you know what? This is how it's played.
And if you look at Halo 2 and Halo 3 on multi and matchmaking, a lot of that stuff was almost near what the competitive settings were. So it's not that people don't like the competitive settings and it's not welcoming, but there are certain things that you can do where in Halo 3 you have the ranked playlist and the social playlist. So you could have those little tweaks that make it a little bit more competitive in the ranked stuff. And then for people that want to play socially, you have a little bit more lax game mechanics kind of built in there. And you could have a couple of extra little things, like maybe the armor abilities in the social stuff, but not in the ranked stuff.
Right.
And it's not necessarily segregating, but it gives those little different experiences where you can hop in one or the other.
Right.
And
I don't understand why the competitive has to be separate. I just would like to see that be the underlying component of the game. You build it from that.
Well, it should, and that's what Halo has been.
Off the Halo. Exactly. That's what it's always been until recently.
Exactly. So we need to start wrapping this up. So sorry we didn't get to too many of the submissions, guys. We got one that kind of generated a lot of discussion here tonight, but we'll get to the others here within the next couple of weeks after next week's podcast. I want to do one other short one real quick and then mention something that someone put in the Twitch stream before we wrap up the show. Brian R. sends us a submission. He says, the future of Halo looks very bleak just based on how very little people are playing Halo 4. Every time I play is usually less than 1,400 playing on all the playlists combined.
14,000.
It used to be you could never see below 100,000. So, yeah, it's definitely changed how the dynamic of Halo 4 has been. And we've talked about that a little bit last week and we've talked a little bit about tonight on the show of how a lot of that is just transitioning over to Halo 3. And I don't think that necessarily means the future of Halo looks bleak. It just means that 343 needs to really look at what people are wanting. And from what we've talked about tonight on the podcast, the core experience of Halo. So, and I've said this, and I wonder if you guys agree with this, but I feel that Halo 4 is 343's one and only free strike that they get. It's their freebie that they get. And if they don't nail Halo 5, then Halo as a franchise is kind of done.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of people are excited about Xbox One. And the biggest thing right now, you know, is that what exclusive is going to cause one person to buy, Xbox One over PS4. And I know, you know, a lot of people have had, a lot of mixed decisions lately because of delays that have been happening to PS4 titles. But honestly, I know the state of Gears of War. I know what we're seeing right now in Halo. And so when people tell me, oh, well, Xbox, you know, they got Halo coming. They got another Gears, you know, it'll be there. Like, dude, honestly, both of these games are pretty bad off right now. I'm not saying go switch to PlayStation 4. I'm just saying if you're really counting on Halo and Gears at this point in time to be your main reason to stick to Xbox, you should probably just start searching for something. Because we don't know what the future really holds for either of those franchises. They're just exclusives on Xbox. So it's actually kind of scary, but it's not necessarily that it is bleak.
It's the unknown right now. The unknown factor. I mean, for all we know right now, they're... If 343 is listening to this podcast, you know, they're sitting there going, oh man, if they knew what we had planned, if we could only show them kind of stuff. Like, for all we know, they're going to blow our minds at, say, what?
When I would welcome it. I would want them to. And well, they definitely have shown a capacity to listen to the community. We've seen a lot of stuff already been changed for the competitive community and lots of things that a lot of people have been happy with. But at the core of the initial experience for Halo 4, it just kind of turned a lot of people away. But it's what the thing I'm most worried about with 343 is their ability to implement the core of Halo that we want. It's not the ability to listen to what people want. It's the ability to actually go in and implement in such a way and not bring in all these extra COD features that will promote initial sales of the game, but rather focus on the things that will make the longevity of the game the more important focus to building.
We've talked about core all night. We haven't really defined what core is to each of us. What is core to you, Dust? What is core to you, Brent? What is core to you, Typo? What's core to me? What's core to everyone else? Like, we should just define what core is to us.
So really. That's going to be the goal of the next few podcasts.
Oh, okay. Whoops. Sorry.
I mean, you can honestly talk about that for an entire podcast, right?
Yeah.
So that's going to be the goal of the next few podcasts coming up. So one last thing, I told someone I would mention this in the stream, so I was going to go ahead and do this. Kind of going to your point earlier, Typo, with the whole rankings in Halo and everything. Someone mentioned, let me pull up his chat thing real quick. Crazy Spartan mentioned the use of seasons to help offset the level or the ranking breaking stuff for the true skill.
I think it could work. The two biggest examples really are in the back of my mind right now is league play, and we know that Halo Reach didn't really do a great job on what they tried to do with their ranks for competitive merit, I guess you could say, because we already taught CSR, we already taught Halo 3, and true skill underlying is the biggest problem. But seasons could work, but you would have to get people excited. And the biggest problem I think that happened Halo 4 wise, when you look at something like Spartan Ops, is I saw this the other day and I forgot about it because I don't actually own Halo 4 anymore, guys. But the thing is didn't they lead on that there would be more Spartan Ops content? Like, I really felt there was going to be more.
They definitely kind of led on to the fact that there would be a second season, but they never absolutely said that there would be, but they kind of hinted that there might. And I was talking
to... Yeah, and now that we know that there's not, that makes me really concerned for if they did do a matchmaking thing with seasons, like, is it even going to exist next season? You know, that would... Because 343 is like, they've made so many sort of bonehead moves in a way that it makes me actually just question a lot of the judgment, but it also makes me question of are they walking on eggshells to the point that this doesn't exist? Like, is it a glass house sort of thing? Because will a season be there next season? We don't know. Will a season what will be the goal? Like, what's the actual point of the season? We know Call of Duty has COD champs, so they have insane league play grinds that people do hours and hours of gameplay on. Anybody know Ogre 2 from Halo? He was there. Why? Probably because Halo 4 was boring. I mean, I don't know, but the thing is, it's impressive that he only played the game for 2.5 months and still made it to the largest Call of Duty, quote-unquote, largest Call of Duty event in the world. I mean, you got to give him some props. But the thing is can 343 and Halo Waypoint, can they actually promise us something? And we see it pan out, you know, because that's the biggest thing. We don't know. It seems all just like it's kind of at random right now.
Right.
Like global championships just kind of came out of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
Like, totally random. Nobody was expecting an FFA tournament. We were all hoping that, hey, 4v4, that would be great. Halo's backbone. But no, it was FFA. And who was in the top 8? MLG.
Yep, all MLG
most
players.
Most of those MLG players. You know where those MLG players are right now? You know what Ace, Informal, and Enable, and they're coached by Tyler Hoyt, and I can't remember the last one. Nope. COD Ghosts. They're all switching to Call of Duty. I'm not even kidding. They tweeted it last night. There'll be an MLG Columbus playing Call of Duty.
Wow.
Yeah. Some of your biggest names in competitive Halo reach through 4. I mean, Enable is there for 3. Amazing sniper through and through. But the thing is dude, they're switching to COD. Because ultimately, Halo 4 right now hasn't even been out a year. And I've already seen in the last week, I've seen more people praise Halo 3. I've seen more people question about Halo 5 and when it's going to come out. The game's not even a year old. How they can start to begin to ask those questions.
So to that, though, you also have to look at the prizes that's coming out for tournaments for those games. And for Halo 3, or for Halo, it's not nearly as much as it is for Call of Duty. Because the backing for Call of Duty is...
Yeah. Think Call of Duty, like $1 million, not $250,000 split between the
And it's a tax write-off.
So I think if you see more Halo tournaments that have bigger payouts, then you would see more people kind of come back to it. But,
and that's the problem right now. Halo tournaments, period, don't have payouts.
Yeah.
AGL hasn't paid anybody since like 7 or 8.
I definitely agree, yeah.
So, I mean, that's the problem. Like, if there's no money and there's, like, Halo 3-4 a lot of people right now, I think, they're asking a lot of us to stick and play Halo 4 until Halo 5. Like, that's why people are going back to Halo 3, because they remember how fun it was. They remember that it was a good game, quote-unquote core. We'll have to discuss that because people have mixed, you know, feelings. But the thing is they're asking a lot of us because there's nothing happening right now. There's not a competitive tournament. We don't know in terms of global championships what comes after that. Who knows? Maybe they have 4 or 5 events planned. We don't know that. Maybe people will hop back on. You know what? The sad thing is, Enable and Ace and Pistola and all those guys, like, they could come back tomorrow and no practice and still, you know, kick butt. It doesn't even matter. But they've been so inconsistent that we don't have a clear view of their plan for what competitive and what the future of Halo is. So it's just scaring a lot of people. And that's ultimately why they're leaving.
Yeah. Yeah. It's unfortunate. So,
yeah, I don't want to see the game die. I really don't.
None of us do. But at this point, we're kind of just writing it out and seeing what they're doing with Halo 5. Now, I mean, a lot of people, at least on Twitter, have said that there's some stuff they could probably do with Halo 4, but if you think rationally, they're going to be focusing a lot of their time and effort now on development for Halo 5. So Halo 4, pretty much as is right now, is probably almost near the final version of what you're going to see. I would still like to see Race. I mean, a lot of the stuff is already in the game to support it. I don't think it would take that much development time to get it officially implemented. But I think there are a few little things that they could probably put in there. So I hate to cut this discussion short, but we got to kind of wrap up here. We're already past 2 hours. So I'm going to go ahead and wrap things up. Thank you to Laird and Typographic for coming on the show. Some distinguished former Podtacular members. Great to have you guys on. Great to see you guys again back on the show. Hopefully we can dig up some other members that would be willing to come on as well. Remember, guys, you can check us out every Thursday night at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time, which is when we record these shows live. You probably heard us mention some people posting in the Twitch chat, and that is because they are listening to us live. So if you want to get in on the action, definitely go over, follow us, twitch.tv/podtacular, Thursdays at 8:30. And we also have game nights, Monday night matchmakings are actually going to be moved. Not sure when yet. I'll let you guys know. And Wacky Wednesdays, of course, is still around. So that's going to be Wednesdays at 8:30. Those are going to be still held in Halo 4. We're not going to move to Halo 3 for those. We're going to kind of keep Halo 4 strong with those custom games. Because, I mean, honestly, there are still some really, really awesome custom games in Halo 4. So we're sticking to Halo 4 for the custom games. And those are going to be Wednesdays, of course, at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time as well. Check out our website, podtacular.com. Send us submissions with the big green button on the site, or send them to us directly at submissions@podtacular.com. and send us anything related to what you think about all this stuff coming up with the next Halo game, what you want to see, like some of the stuff that we talked about tonight, your opinions and thoughts of what, like you've heard some of the other ones that we talked about tonight. And for the submissions that we didn't get to, we'll get to those after next week's podcast. So don't worry, we're still going to read them. They're not forgotten. We will get to them. That will pretty much wrap up the show for tonight. Thank you guys for holding it out this long, for those of you that did manage to get past our 2 hour plus podcast. And we will see you guys next time. Keep on fragging that classic Halo 3.